Our scripture reading this morning is found in Colossians chapter 3. It's the first 14 verses of the third chapter. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. The Bible says, "If then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For ye died, and for life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall ye also with him be manifested in glory. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience, wherein you also once walked, when you lived in these things. But now do you also put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railings, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that he hath put off the old man with his doings, and hath put on the new man, that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian and Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness."
Appreciate your good presence this morning. I want to thank especially those that are with us as well as those that are visiting with us. On the back row, and sometimes we think, well, people sit on the back row, they don't want to get close to the sermon. There are two types of people that come to church. Sometimes those that have a shovel, they want to take it all in. And then there's also those people that have a pitchfork. They want to pitch it over to somebody else. That applies to him. It doesn't apply to me. But we know we all have personal responsibility before God. And in Colossians here is what the message is that's being taught at this time. And so hopefully that we can gain therefrom. We thank Brother Jim for his prayer on my behalf. And we also thank Trace Barker for the reading. Those with us this morning on the back row are the Pattees, Marlon and Janet Pattee, that we've known for 50 years, and Don McCarty too, and worship at Boundary Line, and now that congregation is closed, and they worship at Woodland Hills, along with their daughter, Donna, and her husband, David. Such a good family. We've known for years. They've done so much for us. When we were up in that area, they've treated us like royalty. So we remember them. And Don McCarty, I'm sorry he's not here. He'd have been glad to have seen them this morning. The lesson of the day may not be able to see very clearly. I should have had more of a scribe writing there. The scripture says, if ye then be risen with Christ, and that sets the stage for what he's going to say. It's like a sermon that preaches the same, that Paul is preaching. Oftentimes, in the lessons, there are all kinds of sermons. And in some places, it's how ye turn from idols to serve the living God. What a tremendous lesson that people can do that. And so the message is there for us to pick up. If ye then be risen with Christ, the Bible says to seek those things which are above and not on the things of the earth. You know, it's easy for those things we see around us to get accustomed and see them every day, and we want to build on that. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his rich righteousness. You know, when this lesson is first thought of here that we have this morning, if ye then be risen with Christ, it's a thought that you have been baptized. In Romans 6 and 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are baptized with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Seek those things which are above. Matthew 7 and 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. The Bible says if you a son would ask for a fish, the father that he wouldn't give him a stone. The father would give you what you wouldn't want to give you. That would be good for you. And he says that ask and it shall be given you, and seek and you'll find. That's an effort that we all have to put out. And knock and it shall be opened to you. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or drink. We ate out yesterday. We ate and drank, and you think of things. Or what you're going to put on. The Bible says, for all of these things do the Gentiles seek. But the very next verse in Matthew 6 and 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, those things which we see are temporal. Those things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what the writer is wanting us to see at this time. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You just don't, maybe just a little casual seeking, diligently seek him is what he's talking about. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him when he's near. And what does that mean especially? Does that mean that sometime in our life that we might get farther away from God? He doesn't leave us. It's us that would be the leaving. You know, in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, it helps us to understand, to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And when we see some 40 children that go back to class and the teachers that they have, and to be brought up in the Lord, there's nothing finer in all this world. Yeah. And I believe that with all my heart. We went to a funeral yesterday of Sheila's mother. They complimented her so much on her working with children. She loved children. And we all ought to love children. But Jesus says, don't you wait in your life until your grinders become few. Don't wait till your old time before you accept Jesus and take him as your Savior. And before the windows become darkened. And he's talking about our eyes, we can't see as well. And then he said, before our members begin to tremble. And we understand that in age sometimes that we shake and we're not as stable as we were. And then he says, before desire fails, you remember your Creator before desire fails. You know, sometimes we want this new vehicle or this house, and we want all the enmities that goes with it, that are so much things that's come out all the time. You know, but we're supposed to remember the Creator before all of these things fail. And it says, or ever the silver cord be broken. And man goes to his long home, the Bible says. You remember your Creator is what he's talking about. The second point is that the Bible says not only to seek the Lord, but also to set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And set is much like a target. And if you're going to hit the bullseye, you have to put out an effort to get there. Set your affection. on things above. The Bible talks about Paul and what he had done in his lifetime. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm set. And that's like what I've done is in concrete. It's set there. I'm going to do that. And I need to set my affection on things that are above. Poor Christ is on the right hand of God. You remember when Stephen in the 7th chapter was being stoned to death, and he was preaching a sermon to them, and he saw heaven open and Jesus on the right hand of God. And when we do the Lord's will, regardless of what happens, if we can have that vision that Stephen had and want to go to heaven when time is over, we have to set our affection on things that are above. In Deuteronomy it says, behold, I set before you a blessing and a cursing. The Bible tells us if you do the Lord's will, there's a blessing for you, that he'll give you more than your barns can hold. But if you don't do the Lord's will, he'll be cursing you as you journey through life. When Paul said, I'm set for the gospel, you know, you realize when he was beaten 5 different times, 39 times or 40 times, 5 times 40 is 200 times, that they laid that whip on his back over and over again. And every one of them could have killed him. But he survived all of that, much like Christ did. Christ was beaten that same way. They wanted to kill him. And then Paul says he was beaten with rods 3 different times. That he was stoned, left for dead, shipwrecked 3 times, and out in the ocean for a day and a night. Hebrews 6 and 18, to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. He says for us to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. In verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which remaineth within the veil. 12th chapter of Hebrews, it concludes some things after the 11th chapter when he talked about the heroes of faith. And those heroes of faith are up there in the Colosseum, as the picture is. It said, seeing that you're compassed about with all these great cloud of witnesses, he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race that is set before us. There's a race that's set before us. How are we going to run that race? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, joy, Christ had a joy set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, and is the right hand of God. Our target, we need to be set for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be people that accuse us or try to find fault with us, but be ready to give an answer. Be set that you know what to say when that time comes. You know, at one time, Paul's good friend, Demas, it talks about him 3 different verses. He was set for the gospel, Paul felt like. He was fellow labor with Paul. But the next reading you hear about, that he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. We can be set on something. We can be sealed. But also we can fall and depart from it. And the scripture always holds up that possibility. In Luke, the 9th chapter, it talks about Jesus, when it came time that Jesus should be received up into glory, he said he steadfastly set his face toward Jerusalem. If my understanding is right, that 4 Passovers were in Christ's life that he was involved with a lot. And this last one, he was steadfastly going toward Jerusalem. He knew it was time for him to be received up. He just walked right into that mess that they were going to do to him because he had his face set towards Jerusalem. We have to have our face towards that heavenly land. Be ready at that time. The Bible says something else. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, it says, mortify, therefore, the deeds of the body. That means to kill something. They talk about fornication and uncleanliness and things of that, impure things. You kill those things. That means put to death. Death is something that separates. The body without the spirit is dead. And so we, if we don't mortify and kill those things that bug us, we can't serve two masters. We either serve one, love one, hate the other. Despise one and hate the other. He says, Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I set before you life and death. God's pretty plain oftentimes when he talks to us. He aimed for Adam and Eve to do what they aimed to do. Those responsibilities back then, we have also today. And he tells us to get rid of fornication, unlawful intimacy between sex, uncleanliness, any kind of defilement of the body or the soul, inordinate affection, that's deprived passion, vile affection. I think that Thayer puts all these together, the defilement that brings upon us that we won't get to heaven. And it says evil concupiscence, a desire for the forbidden thing. And then he says covetousness, which is idolatry. In the 10th commandment in the Old Testament, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor her house, nor his ass, nor his ox, nor anything that's your neighbor's. You know, you look across the fence and it looks greener. The Bible says you can't touch that. And that is an overmastering desire to have something that you really can't possess. And there's a lot of people that want to do that and break up marriages and things of that nature. They have no right. And so the Bible says you mortify those things in your body. Those things you trust in, you need to put off. Kind of like a suit of coat or something. The Bible says you put off something. You take it off. You don't need to have that on you. And he specifies those things, as was in the reading this morning. He says anger and wrath and malice. They're about the same. But when they're used together, it's like an intensity that destroys. It grows and destroys the thoughts that turn into action. Anger, the Bible says, resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. How many shootings have we seen going on in the country? Or just wanting to get even at someone. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. They're not going to be satisfied until we shoot this up or whatever it might be. And the Bible tells us that we need to take that coat off. Put off that coat. And he says in blasphemy, any kind of evil speaking. And then filthy communications. Languages that are foul and indecent and filthy. Years ago, at Lebanon, they'd have a sale barn auction every Saturday. And if we had something, we could take it up there to sell, or we could buy something. It's kind of a community thing. A woman that worked in the office, I never heard anybody in my life cuss and use God's name more than this one woman. And about every word, and we've heard people like that. Filthy communication. They can't converse an intelligent sentence without using God's name in vain. And the Bible says you put that off in your lifetime. And then he says to lie not. Lie not one to another. And you said, well, I didn't really lie. It might have been a white lie, but it wasn't a black lie. And I didn't know that there were different colors of lies. Always have been told a lie is a lie. My mother and daddy would tell us, you take a whipping before you'd ever tell a lie. Take a whipping. And when I grew up, that whipping meant something more than just a little tap on their posterior. We carried it with us for a while. Lie not one to another. The ninth commandment is, you don't bear a false tale. You don't carry that. It's kind of like the court. How many courts could be out of session today if there was no lying going on? The United States has more lawyers and stuff fighting this side or the other side, but the Bible says lie not. One to the other. You put off the old man. You put off the old man over there, and don't you lie one to another. In the Proverbs, it says there are seven things the Lord hates, and six are an abomination. Excuse me. Six things the Lord hates, let's put it right. Proverbs 6 and 16, yea, seven are an abomination to him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hand that shed innocent blood. He goes on, a false witness that speak lies. You know, I wonder sometimes if parents aren't kind of careless and they tell their children to lie. You know, when someone comes and knocks on the door and you look out and see who it is and you tell the child, tell them we're not at home. Or if someone's on the phone and you find out who it is, just tell them we're not at home. Would we do something like that, or are we careless sometime? And so we have to be careful what we tell our children. And then as in closing, you put on the new man. It's a sermon that Paul was putting in 14 verses. If you're then risen with Christ, like many of you are, or since you're risen with Christ, is the thought. He says that you seek those things which are above. You set your affection on things which are above. You set it like in concrete. I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to hit that target. I'm going to run that race. And then mortify the deeds in the body. You're the things that creep up sometimes. We don't have to ask them to do that. I remember when I said a bad word once, and I didn't aim to say it. It just came to my mouth, and out it came. Mortify those things, the Bible says. You put off the old man, and you lie not one to another. In the third chapter in verse 9, the 10th verse, it says, put on the new man, which is renewed after knowledge, after the inward man. Put on that new coat, that new pattern, after the image of our Creator. Then in closing, just a thought. You know, the Bible lists that we are the elect. That means that God has selected us to be His children. He calls us saints. He calls us the beloved. In Romans 13 and 14, almost something would tell us about this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. How many times do we provide for the flesh, and maybe are we going to do something wrong with that? That rich young ruler that came to Jesus and wanted to know how he could inherit heaven. Jesus said, do the commandments. This young ruler said, I've done it from my youth up. What lack I yet? You know, any time you say to Jesus, what lack I yet? We're not perfect. And Jesus says, go and sell that you have and give to the poor. He went away sorrowful. You know, there are things that can encompass us, and maybe we want to do things that we ought not to do. You know, there's people that would extra money that they might stay at a motel and do other things. There are just all number of things in this world that are not right. And he says, and with all bowels of mercy, that's where your seat of affection is. And humbleness and meekness and long-suffering and patience and long-suffering and forgiving one another. They're about the same, but they affect us. How people treat us and how we treat them. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. You know, sometimes we sing songs and they mean so much to us. And we sing the song, "Who at my door is standing, patiently drawing nigh. Entrance within demanding, Jesus would love to be in our hearts and in our minds. We know without faith it is impossible to please God. We need to have faith. How are we going to have faith? We have to hear. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That we need to repent. Luke 13:3 and verse 5 says, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And that's exactly what we talked about. You set your affection. You put these other things away. Cancel them out of your life. And that was the lesson that Paul was giving to them. And then to make that noble confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. And then to be baptized into Jesus Christ. We started out with that verse. For as many have been baptized into Christ, you're also risen with Christ. You seek those things which are above. Set your affection. Mortify the deeds of the body. Put off those things. Lie not one to another. And so the lesson's yours this morning. Maybe simple somewhat, that oftentimes the lesson is found within a few verses. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. While together we stand and sing, "Let your wants be known, if there be any."